Wildfire season in the West typically spans from May through November, but this year, in the dead of winter, California saw one of its most destructive wildfires on record. In early January, hurricane-force winds swept across LA County, fueling the spread of 14 separate fires. It was the perfect storm of powerful winds mixed with drought conditions, low humidity, and overgrown vegetation from the fall and winter. By month's end, more than 57,000 acres had burned. Over 18,000 buildings were piles of rubble, and 30 people had lost their lives. The LA fires were the largest January fire event in the state's history, according to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. The speed and intensity of the flames also caught many people off guard, and sadly, this is the new reality. Wildfires used to be contained to specific geographic areas and select seasons. Now, when and where these fires happen are much more unpredictable. On top of this, for firefighters on the front lines, they're still being asked to do more with less. One of those people was Kelly Ramsey. Starting in 2020, she spent 2 years on a hotshot crew in California. This is a small but highly trained and specialized team of firefighters that fight the most difficult and dangerous sections of a wildfire.
You have to train, you train for the 6 months of the off season, hiking with at least 45 pounds, but usually more like 65, 70 pounds on your back, up really steep slopes, running sprints, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, wall sits, weight training. So, you do this training montage for the 6 months of the off season, then you show up and train with the crew for a month, doing more of the same, but worse. And then the season starts, and you're not only hiking with that heavy gear, but you're either running a chainsaw as a sawyer who's clearing a bunch of brush and trees in order to create a fire break or a hand line, what we just call line. Or like me, you're in what's known as the dig, and you're digging with a hand tool for, 12, 16, sometimes 24 hours a day. And your assignments are usually 14 days at a time, and then you have 2 or 3 days off, and then you go out for 14 days again.
Interestingly, Ramsey wasn't a career firefighter before joining the hotshot crew. She started out as a wilderness trail worker, clearing fallen trees from hiking paths in Northern California. But after spending enough time watching wildfires grow more out of control, she felt drawn to the work.
The basic qualification to be a wildland firefighter is called a red card. I can think they used to be red back in the day. Now it's usually like this little yellow piece of paper. But you get it by doing a bunch of classroom training, and then you have to do the pack test where you carry 45 pounds for 3 miles and you have to complete it in under 45 minutes. You do that test and a number of other tests, and then you're qualified at the most basic level.
From there, she worked her way up, gaining more experience and muscle. After some persistence, she eventually landed a spot on a hotshot crew of 20 firefighters. She was the only female on the team. Currently, women make up only about 5% of specialized wildfire crews. Ramsey says the hardest part was getting her fellow firefighters to treat her the same.
Just a big part of it was really trying hard, going over the top to show them that I was a hard worker and that I was going to fight to be a faster hiker and better at digging. And, the more I did that, the more I sort of like bent over backwards trying to prove myself physically and mentally at the job, the more I could see that I earned their respect. And just as time passed and we started to become friends, things became a lot more comfortable.
From there, the hard part began. Her first season was 2020, the worst fire year in California history. By the end of 2020, more than 33 people were dead, and 4.2 million acres and around 11,000 structures were burnt. One of the fires, the August Complex, charred over 1 million acres.
It started as 37 fires, but they basically merged into this one gigafire, the first gigafire in California. So it was a really crazy time to be new in the job. And then 2021 was also a pretty wild and severe fire season. And the Dixie Fire, which happened that year, came pretty close to the August Complex. I think it was over 900,000 acres. So some really intense large fires and some really extreme, fire behavior that had never really been seen before.
The longer she was on the job, the clearer it became. These fires weren't just getting bigger. They were behaving differently. More unpredictable, faster, hotter, and cropping up all at the same time. Ramsey remembers one day where it felt like the punches just kept on coming. It was Labor Day 2020, and she was up in Northern California trying to slow down the August complex fire.
We're doing what's called mop-up, which is when you try to cool off part of the fire that's already out. So we're doing mop-up. It's a relatively mild, tame assignment, but we're feeling this wind. We're in a burned forest, so we're surrounded by like these stalks of carbon, these totally burned trees, and we're hearing trees fall in the wind. And when a really big tree, you know, like 100-foot Doug fir, when that falls, it sounds like a bomb has dropped and it shakes the earth. So already you're standing in this high wind and then you hear these like bombs and feel this shaking. So we're already all kind of freaked out. Like, is a tree going to fall on us? A tree feels like it could fall on us at any moment. Then we start hearing that the fire we're on is putting up this huge smoke column, which usually is a sign that fire behavior has picked up and the fire is making a run, you know, it's making a huge push. And then we start hearing on the radio that the fire is, in fact, making a huge push. And not only that, but all of these fires all over Northern California are doing the same thing. There are just these massive columns, you know, as far as the eye can see.
At the same time, she got a call from her house sitter telling her that her house in the town of Happy Camp was in an immediate evacuation zone.
She tells me that there's a huge fire right outside town. It's coming for town. They're evacuating. And do I want her to take our dogs? And I get chills. I still get chills when I think about this because, you know, at this point, there's fire everywhere. There's a dangerous fire that I'm fighting. And then there's one at home. And I tell her to take the dogs and she took the dogs and evacuated. But our goat had to stay on the property. Our cat had run off. You know, you just have this feeling of like absolute free fall.
In the end, her home survived, and so did her dogs, but her town didn't. Nearly half of the homes in Happy Camp were leveled, and most residents didn't have fire insurance.
It's a tiny community to begin with. Only about 1,000 people live there. So to have half the community basically become homeless in a day was just absolutely, I don't have words. You know, I don't live there anymore, but I think the recovery process has been ongoing for so many people because it takes a long time to do the environmental remediation and remove the debris from a burned home. And then it takes a really long time to battle with insurance, if you're fortunate enough to have fire insurance, and rebuild. And a lot of people didn't have fire insurance at all. So I think that process, that was 2020, we're 5 years later. I think a lot of people are still recovering.
And the same devastating scenarios are happening all over the country. Wildfires are one of the biggest forces of destruction, yet despite the rising stakes, local and federal wildfire budgets are slowing. The number of fires across the country are already tracking 57% higher than the 10-year average, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Meanwhile, agencies are lagging behind on taking proactive and reactive measures. Ramsey says one big proactive measure that scientists have called for is to strategically clear overgrown trees and brush.
Our forests are really overgrown. They're super dense with brush, with trees, with what in firefighting we call fuels, because that all just is fuel for these massive wildfires. So it is urgent. It is beyond urgent. It is past due. And what we really need to do is going in and deliberately thinning. So cutting down trees, cutting down brush, removing a lot of this material. And then we need to intentionally burn our forests. So a huge part of the problem is that historically, these forests would have burned and that would have been healthy, would have regenerated the landscape, thinned all of these fuels, reduced the risk of a high severity fire.
At the same time, she says agencies also need to improve reactive efforts and invest more in the firefighters who are putting their lives on the line.
We need many more wildland firefighters. We need them to be better paid and supported. They need health care. And wildfires have been understaffed for at least 5 years now. And that makes everything more dangerous for the people who are out there. You know, if you don't have enough support, if you don't have other crews to work alongside you, if you don't have an engine to bring water when you need it, it really puts the lives of these firefighters at risk. So, yeah, we need an investment from the federal government in more people who are better paid, not fewer. So it really is, it's hard to watch.
Ramsey no longer fights fires out west, but she's still working to raise awareness of the broken system by sharing her own experience. Her new memoir, Wildfire Days, tells the story of her 2 years on the front lines as part of a hotshot crew. To learn more about this topic and our guest, Kelly Ramsey, head to viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, the untold impact of the interstate system on Black America when Viewpoints returns.
Are you wet shaving? You'll get razor bumps.
Nah, Pops, I'm good with Gillette Skin Guard. How long you been growing that beard mama hates anyway?
Since 77. I shaved and got ingrown so bad.
That's why I use the Gillette Skin Guard razor, face scrub, shave gel, and moisturizer. So I don't have to worry about new razor bumps or shaving irritation.
Gillette Skin Guard, huh? Your mama's gonna love this one.
The best a man can get keeps getting better with Gillette Skin Guard. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Progressive knows when you own a boat or RV, it's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected. Your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
July 4th may be over, but Macy's July 4th sale is still on with everything you need to keep the vibe going all summer long. Hosting? Turn your backyard into a party destination with 40 to 50% off outdoor dining and entertaining. Beachbound? Turn heads in this season's hottest swimsuits, sundresses, and more. Get away with the kids? Superpower their summer with 25 to 60% off toys from Nerf and more. But hurry, because the sale ends tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes. So it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
The Black Bottom neighborhood, an area on the Near East Side of Detroit, Michigan, got its name from the rich marsh soils it was built on. Throughout the 1800s and early 1900s, it was a vibrant and predominantly Black community that grew to a population of 100,000 people. Kids played on quiet side streets, jazz music floated on a breeze from the local record store, and independent community shops, from the barbershop to the neighborhood grocer, always had a steady stream of customers. In the evenings, adults frequented the vibrant entertainment district for live music. For many years, the town was an ideal place to live. Then, one day in the early 1960s, the city of Detroit sent out eviction letters. These notices gave 30 days for thousands of homeowners and 300 Black-owned businesses to vacate. City leaders wanted to demolish the town to create a new highway system. But looking back today, activists like Deborah Archer argue that leaders used this and other projects as an excuse to remove African Americans.
I think far too often we think that highways took blighted neighborhoods, because that's the narrative, right? Highways were part of this focus on urban revitalization and focused on removing blight. But the way that we defined blight had a racial lens to it. And we targeted Black communities and said that they were blighted when in fact they were vibrant communities central to life for the many people who live there.
Archer is the president of the American Civil Liberties Union and is a professor of law at the New York University School of Law. She's also the faculty director of the Community Equity Initiative and is the author of Dividing Lines: How Transportation Infrastructure Reinforces Racial Inequality. Although Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 ended racial segregation in public places, Archer says city leaders still racially discriminated and segregated under the cover of urban renewal.
we have all these amazing and powerful, beautifully written civil rights laws, but the racialization of transportation infrastructure in so many ways shows the limits of those laws, because it's easier to change a discriminatory law than it is to tear down a highway or to tear down a bridge once set up.
During the mid-1900s, city planners that were tasked with constructing new highways and bridges across the U.S. built on areas where property was cheap. This was usually where people of color lived as a consequence of redlining, a now illegal practice that discriminated against minorities by disproportionately denying them access to loans or insurance to buy property. While it's impossible to fully right these wrongs, Archer says there's still an opportunity to make some amends.
The way to address this is to address it head on, to have real and honest conversations about how our communities got the way that they are, to have real and honest conversations about the disproportionate impact that our transportation infrastructure is having, that we continue to ask communities of color to bear all of the negative impacts, right? The destroying homes and businesses, the impact on air quality and on noise, and then allow those folks to enjoy fewer of the benefits. So we have to focus on more distributional equality.
The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act of 2021 was a bipartisan effort passed by Congress to address some of these issues. Through this initiative, divided communities are being reconnected by modern engineering and planning. One such example is the reconstruction of the Interstate 65 I-70 interchange in Indianapolis. The Indiana Department of Transportation has teamed up with the Rethink Coalition of Indianapolis for the project. Brenda Frege is president and CEO of the Rethink Coalition and explains how getting to this point took time in itself.
Rethink Coalition made a pretty big shift from protest group to now collaborative leader, and that has made all the difference for us. We knew being a protest group was important to begin with. That was the only voice we had at the moment. But we eventually got a seat at the table in conversations and discussions. We formed as a nonprofit, and we've taken on this role of really trying to bring all the voices together, all the stakeholders, all the decision makers, so that everyone's aware of what the vision, the overarching vision is for downtown.
Right now, most of the highways in Indianapolis are elevated and expansive. These wide roadways are an eyesore that block out nature and reduce walkability. Frege says the goal is to create new recessed highways that run lower in the ground and are less obstructive. This new highway would open up 65 to 70 new acres of land that would be transformed into parks and tree-lined connecting walkways.
Really focusing on what happens if you compress the footprint, you push it down below grade. Right now it's all elevated. Push it down below grade, start building land bridges over the top to reconnect everything. So it's a slow process, but there's momentum. And, we're planning for the next 50 years. So it takes a while to get all the pieces to come together, but we're seeing real progress.
And Indianapolis isn't alone. Other places have recognized the need to reconnect neighborhoods that were abruptly split apart by transportation infrastructure. Cities like Boston, Minneapolis-St. Paul, Cincinnati, Columbus, Ohio, and Dallas. While funding for infrastructure investment and revitalization may be impacted by future government funding cuts, Archer still remains optimistic.
I am hopeful because when you look at all that we have accomplished, all that we have done to get to where we are, there's only reasons to be hopeful that we can continue to push forward together, support each other, and make this country more equitable, more just for everyone.
Deborah Archer's book, Dividing Lines: How Transportation Infrastructure Reinforces Racial Inequality, is available now online and can be requested through your local bookstore. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment. Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
I can't believe how spotless my floors look after using the Swiffer Power Mop. No more dragging around a heavy mop and messy bucket. Now I get the same deep clean without all the work. Thanks to the powerful solution and scrubbing pad of the Swiffer Power Mop, dirt and grime don't stand a chance, and I don't break a sweat. Mic drop. I mean, mop drop. Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop. A smarter way to mop. Try it or your money back.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. It's been almost 4 years since the Taliban, a conservative Islamist group, retook control of Afghanistan. Since then, life for women and girls continues to grow worse. Getting an education and working, most jobs are off limits. Even basic health care can be denied if they show up alone. According to the United Nations Human Rights Monitors, women are now barred from public spaces, running small businesses, and in some areas, even entering shops without a male relative. In hospitals, female patients who've shown up alone have reportedly been turned away. And in parts of the Northeast, religious minorities have faced threats of forced conversion. At the same time, a growing number of Afghans are returning to the country, and this is often not by choice. The UN reports that in just 1 month, over 250,000 people re-entered Afghanistan, with tens of thousands being deported from Iran and Pakistan. This influx is putting added pressure on a country already stretched thin. Afghanistan's economy has slowed since 2021, and more than half of the population now depends on international aid. Despite the growing economic and humanitarian crises, senior Taliban leaders continue to defend their actions with religious and cultural arguments. But for many women in the country, the reality is stark. Returning doesn't mean safety. It often means fewer rights, less freedom, and no clear path forward. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. The stakes are high for Warner Brothers' new movie Superman. A reboot for maybe the most iconic character in comics from writer-director James Gunn, and an attempt to reboot the entire DC universe, which has largely played second fiddle to the booming Marvel Cinematic Universe for the past decade plus. Richard Donner's original Superman movie starring Christopher Reeve in 1978 was a mega hit that's often credited with kicking off the modern era of superhero entertainment. And for decades, DC's characters, which include Supes, Batman, Wonder Woman, and The Flash, were largely seen as the default most famous superheroes in the world. Of course, Marvel has always had its stars too, namely Spider-Man and the X-Men. But the MCU managed to propel Iron Man, Captain America, and even formerly lesser-known characters like Ant-Man and the Guardians of the Galaxy to the forefront of the superhero consciousness for an entire generation of moviegoers. Since then, though, the last few MCU entries have been met with some indifference at the box office and online, and WB and DC Comics seem to hope that now is the time to regain the title of the most iconic active superhero brand. And those hopes currently lay at the feet of James Gunn, who's not only the creative engine behind the new Superman, but who also serves as co-CEO of DC Studios. His reinvention of Superman, starring David Cornsweet, Rachel Brosnahan, and Nicholas Hoult, appears to be an attempt at re-emphasizing the aspirational and heroic nature of the Man of Steel. And if all goes well, the movie's also set to serve as the launching pad for an entire new era of DC Comics blockbusters. No pressure or anything. James Gunn's Superman is in theaters on July 11th. I'm Evan Rook.
Are you wet shaving? You'll get razor bumps.
Nah, Pops, I'm good with Gillette Skin Guard. How long you been growing that beard mama hates anyway?
Since 77. I shaved and got ingrown so bad.
That's why I use the Gillette Skin Guard razor, face scrub, shave gel, and moisturizer, so I don't have to worry about new razor bumps or shaving irritation.
Gillette Skin Guard, huh? Your mama's gonna love this one.
The best a man can get keeps getting better with Gillette Skin Guard. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see quite a bit of sunshine around the area today with highs in the mid-70s, north to northeast winds of 5 to 10. Overnight, mostly clear, lows near 50. Monday, we'll see sunshine with highs in the upper 70s, close to 80, and a few showers and storms Monday night. Right now, it's 64.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, how to actually fix your adrenal dysfunction.
You have brain fog or fatigue, we're going to give you some ADHD medication. This is kind of the approach to modern medicine, where they will identify a symptom and give you a Band-Aid for it.
But first, there's a better approach to treating chronic pain that doesn't use opioids.
Chronic pain is multifaceted, it's complex. Thus, the therapies needed to treat it also need to be multifaceted and multimodal.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
July 4th may be over, but Macy's July 4th sale is still on, with everything you need to keep the vibe going all summer long. Hosting? Turn your backyard into a party destination with 40 to 50% off outdoor dining and entertaining. Beachbound? Turn heads in this season's hottest swimsuits, sundresses, and more. Get away with the kids? Superpower their summer with 25 to 60% off toys from Nerf and more. But hurry, because the sale ends tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Gaines Super Flings are here to take your laundry to the next level.
Talking about Gaines Super Flings. Super size laundry packs. These things are huge. Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings laundry packs have 4 times the Oxi cleaning power and 3 times the Febreze freshness versus Gain Original Liquid.
Super fresh, super clean. Gaines Super Flings.
Gaines Super Flings for next level laundry.
How much do you really know about pain? Though millions of Americans suffer from chronic pain, proper education around management and treatment is lacking. Dr. Tanya Palermo, a professor of anesthesia and pain medicine at the University of Washington School of Medicine, says that understanding why your body hurts is crucial to healing.
Pain is a complex topic because it's both a symptom and experience, but it also can turn into a chronic disease. So everyone essentially experiences pain at some point in their life. It's usually what we call acute pain, which is pain that's related to, you know, everyday aches, pains, illnesses that we expect to resolve quickly. And there are different kind of physiological processes that are important for acute pain. When pain continues, though, to occur and persist, it really does transform in both there's brain and structural changes that can be seen in what is maintaining pain, but there's also a shift in lots of other behavioral psychosocial processes that can also maintain pain.
Sound complicated? It is. Palermo also directs the Center for Child Health Behavior and Development at Seattle Children's Research Institute. She says that the common mistake made is treating chronic pain the same as acute or short-term flare-ups. Taking medicine to try and immediately fix the problem doesn't work when it comes to the complex processes that maintain those negative signals. However, some of these systems that exacerbate the issue are helpful processes that have just become dysfunctional. The endogenous pain relieving systems are a good example of this.
Endogenous pain relieving systems include neurotransmitters and peptides that are either, there's so many, it could be serotonergic. The endocannabinoid system, which is what cannabis binds with, is the most populous. There's dopamine, there's glutamate, there's acetylcholine, there's the endogenous opioidergic system, which is considered to be the primary pain-relieving system.
That's Fadl Sadan, director of the Pain Health and Mindfulness Laboratory at UC San Diego. He says a good example of seeing these systems in action is getting a minor injury. If you stub your toe, your body will release a bunch of natural opioids to reduce that pain.
It's a built-in system to help us feel less pain, which is why when we take opiates for acute pain, it can reduce pain because it binds with the opioidergic receptors that already exist in our body.
Notice that his key word here is acute, because despite what you may have been told, opioids are not effective for chronic pain.
In fact, they make chronic pain worse. That's been shown over and over and over again. It is not a treatment for chronic pain. Does that mean there's not a time and a place for opiate administration for chronic pain? Of course not. That's not within my level of expertise. But the literature is pretty clear that opiate use is not helping chronic pain. Chronic pain is multifaceted. It's complex. Thus, the therapies needed to treat it also need to be multifaceted and multimodal.
Palermo agrees, believing that an ideal treatment team for chronic pain includes multiple health professionals, such as a physician, psychologist, and physical rehab therapist.
This is a long-term problem. It shouldn't be viewed as a symptom. And when you have complex chronic pain, it really, the viewpoint of the care team needs to be that this is a chronic condition, and it should be educating patients about that, giving them some insight into, you know, where might vulnerabilities come up later in life where symptoms might get worse. And so I think, again, that treatment team is so important to construct. At this time, there is the most evidence for psychological and behavioral therapies and for some physical rehabilitation therapies, much less evidence for medication or pharmacotherapy being helpful for this type of persistent chronic primary pain problems.
Zidane's 2024 paper, published in PNAS Nexus, aimed to see where meditation landed on this spectrum. Since it's believed that humans use our internal opioid system most commonly to regulate pain, the team set out to find out if mindfulness meditation could piggyback on this process to reduce pain.
We asked a very simple question based on all this literature for the last 50 years that says that endogenous opiate system is the main way we reduce pain. So we blocked the opiate system from working when people were meditating in response to pain. And we found that meditation still worked, even though we were blocking the opiate system from working. So that let us see something really cool and new, that meditation isn't using the system, it's something else.
But that wasn't the only surprise. Zidane's student at the time wondered if this effect differed by the participant's sex. At first, Zidane completely shut down the idea because the past few studies they had done hadn't shown anything to suggest sex-based differences. However, once they combined all of the data, they were able to see the more subtle themes occurring in their research.
What she did was she took all of my experiments where we blocked the opiate system from working during meditation, and we looked at males versus females. And sure enough, she was right. When we block the opiate system from working, meditation no longer works in males at reducing pain. It just blocks the effect completely. Well, you know, more or less. Not completely, I guess. But then when you block the opiate system in females during meditation and pain evocation, the pain relief actually gets stronger. Like, they got better when we blocked the opiate system. So we saw a clear and large effect. Actually, it wasn't that subtle at all. We saw a pretty significantly large effect in differences in the way that males and females are reducing pain in the body.
So this long-held belief that all humans primarily use the opioid system to internally reduce pain may not be true for women.
This was the first study to show this difference between males and females in the context of any pain modulatory technique, distraction, placebo, hypnosis, prayer, whatever, in humans. This effect has been shown in rodents, like once or twice, but never in humans. So we were pretty blown up. I'm still blown away by these findings.
Because if this finding turns out to be true, it will significantly change how pain is treated in women. Currently, women are more likely than men to be prescribed opioids. But has that been the wrong approach this whole time?
For an extended period of time, we were prescribing opiates like candy. And it created basically the opiate epidemic in this country. And we know from the literature that those prescriptions were significantly higher for women than males. Those increased rates of prescriptions may be associated with the fact that women were taking more because the opiates weren't binding with their bodies, biologically speaking. If this does stick, it doesn't make any sense to give women opiates because it doesn't seem like their body is as responsive to the endogenous opioidergic system, which suggests that they're using something that's not endogenous opioidergic.
Zidane is quick to point out that this is the very beginning of this research. In order to even confirm this finding, the study has to be reproduced multiple times before moving into real research of this hypothesis. And though he's only able to speculate on very limited and unconfirmed information, Zidane's hunch is that the female body uses the cannabinoid system for pain relief.
Because that is A, the most populous system, we have the most receptors. Endocannabinoids are highly analgesic, highly pain relieving. And they're, in the context of candidates for pain relief, it's likely either going to be opioidergic or endocannabinoid. You could get some support from the serotonin system, from the dopamine system. But generally speaking, in the context of pain relief, it's those two.
But again, this is only the beginning. This finding could be found to be completely off base, or it could be the start of an entirely new understanding of how humans process pain. We'll only find out after years and years of further research.
This study is the first time that we've seen this in humans. There's definitely differences in the way that endogenous opiates work between males and females to reduce pain. This is during meditation. It may not come out during placebo. It may not be an effect during distraction, you know, or other techniques. No idea. You know, we just started. And this was a very surprising discovery. Like, we were not expecting this. In fact, I thought Michaela was wrong. And it ended up being, I think, our biggest discovery.
Zidane says the team is first going to look at if this effect is specific to meditation, and then research how men and women react differently to cannabis to test their theory that females will have a greater response. But while Zidane's team works on the future of pain research, Palermo is focused on educating the public on what we know now. She says that there's a big gap in how patients understand chronic pain, which can actually hinder treatment and healing. Join us next week as we discuss how this education is evolving to impact the most patients possible. You can find more information about Dr. Tanya Palermo, Fadl Zidane, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, is your stress a sign of a larger medical issue? When Radio Health Journal returns.
With Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, you can easily find the right home insurance for you, even if it's not with Progressive. But if you don't choose us, then sure, okay, it's not going to work out. We're not going to cry about it or stay awake wondering what our future together would have looked like. We can't get emotionally invested, even if it sounds like we are. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer allows you to easily compare home insurance rates and coverages in one place, even if it's not with us. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I love you. I shouldn't have said that.
That's the sound of your money going further. Because with new McValue at McDonald's, you always get more than you expect. Buy a sausage burrito and add a sausage McMuffin for just $1. Your crew needs fuel before practice? The $5 meal deal is always on time. Late night turn to all night? Get a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for, yep, just $1. Your money is having a time. New McValue at McDonald's. Get more than you expect. Prices and participation may vary. Valid per item of equal or lesser value.
What are some of the most important parts of your body? Maybe your answer is the brain, or our muscles, or even the skin that holds us all together. Perhaps you thought of the trillions of nerves running through us. But odds are you overlooked one crucial aspect to our health, the adrenal glands.
Our adrenal glands are our main stress glands, and they're responsible for producing a variety of hormones in our body. Most specifically, cortisol, our stress hormone, is produced by our adrenal glands in response to stress.
That's Dr. Isabella Wentz, a thyroid specialist and author of Adrenal Transformation Protocol, a 4-week plan to release stress symptoms and go from surviving to thriving. While cortisol has been villainized on social media for being the cause of weight gain, the hormone is actually quite helpful.
When we have it in just the right amounts, we do need it for survival and for thriving, then we have good brain function and our immune system is in check and our body can repair itself. So we do want some, we just don't want way too much of it. Generally, we want to have a good cortisol secretion. So we want to have high cortisol in the morning, not too high. There's kind of this optimal range where it's, if you could picture a slide where you're at the top of the slide in the morning, this high level of cortisol is going to make sure that we are present, that our brain is awake, that our body's awake, and that we're feeling good.
Cortisol has anti-inflammatory properties, which, when it's released in the right amount, we wake up feeling refreshed and pain-free. As the day goes on, our cortisol levels gradually decline until we're ready for bed and can easily fall asleep.
It's a circadian hormone that gets released in times of stress. And with a healthy person in that healthy pattern, it'll be in that way. In times of acute stress, when we are feeling threatened, so, you know, you hear about the people that lift cars because there's a child underneath that, or all of a sudden they get super strength because they're being chased by something, right? Or they climb a tree and they're being chased by a bear. And it's like, I didn't even know I could climb trees. And so this is cortisol when it's released in high amounts. And this can be life-saving, right? When we're faced with a threat. And this can be a big, big driver to help us survive.
The problems start when our body gets stuck in survival mode. Our adrenal glands continue to produce cortisol even though there's no need for it, causing numerous issues that include muscle weakness and weight gain. However, Wen says that having too little cortisol is just as bad.
Especially for people with chronic fatigue syndrome, fatigue symptoms, having trouble waking up in the morning, brain fog, and irritability and anxiety and overwhelm throughout the day. And then people can also have cortisol in the right amounts, but perhaps it's not secreted at the right times of day. So if you don't have enough morning cortisol, then you're going to be tired. And if you have too much cortisol at nighttime, then you might have trouble falling asleep and have unrefreshed sleep and middle of the night wakings.
Wentz says this cortisol imbalance is caused by adrenal dysfunction. It occurs when our adrenal glands can't properly communicate with our brain. The most common signs of adrenal dysfunction are fatigue, brain fog, irritability, and anxiety. Physical pain can also occur, along with trouble falling asleep at night. Wentz says higher stress levels can start after just one bad night of sleep, but adrenal dysfunction occurs if that heightened stress cycle continues for weeks.
Typically, in healthy individuals, the brain, the hypothalamus, and the pituitary will sense stress. And then they'll send hormone signals to the body to make cortisol. And if this stress goes on for too long and we get stuck in a chronic stress cycle, then the pathway kind of gets broken down and the receptors get desensitized. And eventually the pathway will get broken down to a point where the body may still sense the stress, but it still doesn't release cortisol in the right amounts throughout the day. Just to clarify, it's not like a disease. This is the body's adaptation to stress. This happens when the body's overwhelmed with stress.
And it's an incredibly common disorder, particularly in people with depression, heart disease, and fibromyalgia. However, Wen says that in many cases, it's often left undiagnosed. The dysfunction can stem from a couple moments of incredibly high stress or small frustrations that compound on each other until one day it becomes too much for our bodies to handle.
The stressors of modern life can also put us there. So it's like constantly being on the go, having a super busy schedule, burning the candle at both ends, not getting enough sleep, undereating, overexercising, eating foods that are inflammatory to us, eating too much sugar and too much food that drives up our blood sugar response.
Not to mention the hidden sources of stress, like an illness or infection our body has to fight off. Since all of our body's energy is focused on managing this response, we're left without any to help our muscles recover from exercise or our minds from socializing. Unfortunately, Wentz says medical professionals tend to focus on fixing the symptoms instead of the dysfunction.
And so modern medicine sort of uses a band-aid approach to the symptoms that you might be present. You're gaining some weight, let's try some Ozempic, right? Or you have brain fog or fatigue, we're going to give you some ADHD medication. And so this is kind of the approach to modern medicine, where they will identify a symptom and give you a band-aid for it.
Instead, Wentz says lifestyle changes are the best option for fixing the underlying condition, which is adrenal dysfunction. After just a few weeks of lifestyle changes, Wentz says we can get our bodies back on track. One of the strategies she outlines in her book aims to balance blood sugar by increasing the amount of protein we consume.
So generally, people that are in this stress response, they've been breaking their body down for a while. And so we need to give the body more amino acids in the sense of protein so we can build the body back up. Amino acids are our building blocks. And getting more protein in our system is going to be incredibly helpful. We need more fat. And I do recommend good fats than most people are getting, because fats are incredibly helpful for supporting our mitochondria. Whenever we're in this chronic fatigue state, this adrenal dysfunction, our mitochondria is going to be affected as well.
The next step is to cut out inflammatory foods from our diet. Inflammation is a signal of stress in our body and triggers cortisol to be released, so limiting that will reduce the stress response.
One of the easiest ways to reduce this is getting off of like gluten, dairy, and soy, which are the most commonly inflammatory foods in people who are sensitive to them. So that's a big part of my recommendation. Eating a nutrient-dense diet can be very helpful. One of the things that can be great for people is a smoothie that I recommend, the Adrenal Kickstart Smoothie. This is orange juice with some protein powder, coconut milk, and electrolytes. This is going to be incredibly replenishing first thing in the morning. This is going to help your brain and body wake up and to keep you blood sugar stable throughout the day because of the protein and fat component.
Other nutrients that are depleted during adrenal dysfunction are vitamin C, vitamin E, and magnesium.
For many people, just getting these nutrients on board, they'll say, I feel human again. I can, you know, B vitamins are so important for energy production. So getting on some B complex, generally higher doses than what you would get in a multivitamin, this can be helpful for your energy production. P5P or the vitamin B6 is helpful for producing our neurotransmitters. So people will feel more calm when they utilize that, and they'll be able to fall asleep easier at night. Then magnesium has been tied to so many different pathways in the body. We typically will say like, I think 300 plus, but in my experience, the big symptoms that respond to magnesium are going to be anxiety, pain in the body, trouble falling asleep, and cramps, especially menstrual cramps.
Wentz recommends taking a magnesium supplement or an Epsom salt bath to replenish our body's reserves. Her book, Adrenal Transformation Protocol, is available now wherever books are sold. You can find more information about Dr. Isabella Wentz and all of our guests on RadioHealthJournal.org. This segment originally aired in May of 2023. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Are you wet shaving? You'll get razor bumps.
Nah, Pops, I'm good with Gillette Skin Guard. How long you been growing that beard mama hates anyway?
Since 77. I shaved and got ingrown so bad.
That's why I use the Gillette Skin Guard razor, face scrub, shave gel, and moisturizer. So I don't have to worry about new razor bumps or shaving irritation.
Gillette Skin Guard, huh? Your mama's gonna love this one.
The best a man can get keeps getting better with Gillette Skin Guard. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
July 4th may be over, but Macy's July 4th sale is still on with everything you need to keep the vibe going all summer long. Hosting? Turn your backyard into a party destination with 40 to 50% off outdoor dining and entertaining. Beachbound? Turn heads in this season's hottest swimsuits, sundresses, and more. Get away with the kids? Superpower their summer with 25 to 60% off toys from Nerf and more. But hurry, because the sale ends tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Medical notes this week. Internal swelling in the female reproductive tract may be a hidden cause of infertility. Embryos are highly sensitive to environmental stressors like inflammation. New research in the journal Science Advances has found a correlation between low levels of progesterone and increased inflammation. These findings could pave the way for new treatments targeting inflammation-related fertility issues. Do you ever wish you could look at life a little differently? A new app could help you do this by tweaking your personality. New research in Nature Scientific Reports focuses on how users can enhance their natural curiosity to boost daily motivation. The app asks users to make small but intentional changes in their routines, like listening to a new podcast or experimenting with a new recipe. The researchers say that fostering this trait is important because curiosity directly contributes to positive life outcomes. Not all meditations are created equally. Mindfulness can help calm anxiety, but new research shows that specific strategies are better at treating different kinds of anxiety. An anxious, wandering mind needs a different calming approach than a racing heart or sweating hands. The research is published in the journal Neuroscience and Biobehavioral Reviews. And finally, fathers interact differently with sons and daughters. A study published in Behavioral Neuroscience shows that men with daughters are more attentive to their crying child. They also sing more often and are more likely to use emotional language. The fathers of sons use words more associated with power and achievement, like best, win, and super. The researchers say it's important for knowing how parents subconsciously interact with their kids. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
This segment is sponsored by Johnson & Johnson and Bristol-Myers Squibb. Stroke is a leading cause of death and disability worldwide, with over 12.2 million strokes occurring each year and 795,000 taking place in the U.S. alone. Dr. Clay Johnston, Chief Medical Officer and co-founder of Harbor Health.
The signs of stroke can be subtle and hard to recognize, so educating yourself and others is key to responding quickly. An easy way to remember is with the acronym FAST. This stands for face drooping, arm weakness, speech difficulty, and time to call 911. The sudden onset of any of these symptoms could mean that someone is having a stroke.
A stroke can affect anyone at any time, so recognizing these symptoms quickly can make a difference, especially when it comes to getting the proper care.
Seeking medical attention at the first sign of stroke symptoms can significantly reduce long-term disability and enhance recovery. It can also increase eligibility for clinical trials, potentially leading to additional treatment options.
For more information on the signs and symptoms of stroke, visit stroke.org.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
The right mix for Park Falls and Prentice. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
Go, go, chase.